Today on Real Radio.
And the Roman Empire became very concerned about the Christian church for one big reason. You want to know why? The bulk of the Christian church were slaves of the Roman Empire. Mainly Gentile slaves as time went on.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a new series called Why Should I? We think you're going to like this series. Pastor Jack's going to explore Scripture to answer questions like, why should I worship? Why should I fast? Why should I pray? And a whole bunch more. Now today we bring you the opening lesson, the title of which you got to admit is essential to our spiritual growth. It's called Why Should I Go to Church? Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Why don't you grab your Bibles this morning, as you've been accustomed in this series, to the book of Acts. So go there if you would, book of Acts, chapter 2. And you're going to probably have these verses memorized by the time we get done through this 12-part series that we've embarked upon from our normal book-by-book, chapter-by-chapter study of the Bible. We are going through a special series entitled the Why Should I series. And we've looked at things like, why should I go to church? Why should I fellowship? And this morning, why should I go back to church? Or why should I come to church is the question as we go through this 12-part series. This morning, using Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47, there the scripture says, then those who gladly received his word, that was Peter's preaching. As Peter preached his message on the southern steps of the temple there, it says that the people were baptized, and about that day, 3,000 souls were added to them, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together, that's called church, by the way, and had all things in common, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily, with one accord in the temple and the breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. John was talking about the golf tournament time that's coming up. And I think every year this church hosts the Chapel Creek Open, we call it. And that's neat if you know how to golf. I do not know how to golf. One time on the course, our first year out, all the men of this church begged me to never golf again. But I bring that up because honestly, what does golfing or athletics have to do with this message? Well, maybe this will help you understand where I'm at today regarding the message of why should I or why should anybody go back to church? It's definitely a message that is directed to the Christian who once attended church and now for whatever reason is not. I want to be the first one to tell you right here, right now, that God is madly in love with you, that for whatever reason you strayed from the church, God knows. But listen, no matter how justifiable your situation is and your pain might be because of what happened to you or what was perceived by you, that whatever church you are attending, at whatever time of your life, that this message is entitled for you to get back to that church and get plugged back into that ministry, that work, or for you, if God so leads, that you would attend this church. I don't care where you go or if you stay, just go to a Bible-teaching church that loves God. And that is a very important theme to our series. But what does that have to do with athletics or with golfing? Well, have you ever seen the golfers every Sunday, by the way, after service? I go home and I turn on golf. I have for years. I don't understand it, but I lay on the couch and I turn it on and I love watching these guys. It's very relaxing for me. You know what? One of the things I get a kick out of is what we call, what we know in athletics as body English. You know what body English is? Body English, for example, the golfer's got the club, or what is it? What's it called? The club. Okay, the club. He's got the club. He's got the ball out there. And you see him. He looks so, don't they look classy, those guys? They got, I mean, it's casual, but classy. Perfect setting, palm trees and water and all the birds flying by. And then there's just that mystique about professional golfing. It's on TV and everybody's so proper. And when the guy does a really great thing, they go like this. It's like it's illegal to just go, yeah, all right. You got to give him a golfer clap. Oh, good job. It's a little too proper for me, I guess. I don't know. But one of the things that cracks me up is before the golfer hits the ball, he's talking to the ball. He's laying down, looking. He's kind of angling things up, sizing things up. And then he's moving his pants. Have you seen him do that? Goes over there, does a little squat down. Gets up, calls for a different club. I'm driving the cameraman nuts, I can tell. But he does all this stuff. He's moving all around. He's doing all the things that he does. And he's just going to hit a ball. But to him, that ball is so important. Then you got the guy who, in the baseball game, he's up to the plate and he's going to swing the bat. He's hopefully going to hit a home run. You ever watch a baseball player, especially in the pro ball? Isn't it hilarious? They are just moving around. They're swinging things. And then they're checking every known body part to make sure it's still intact before they swing. Don't want to lose anything. Want to make sure that every bit is put into that big swing, you know, and so he's doing stuff and moving around. Why? Body English, man. He's trying to get just the best hit. He wants the ball over the fence. That ball's important to him. You ever seen an Olympic weightlifter, a world champion weightlifter? Those guys crack me up. They go, first of all, they're weighing about 450 pounds, and they've got somebody else's nightgown on or something. I mean, it's just little tiny sliver of fabric on there. And have you ever seen them? Guys, have you seen this? Championship weightlifting, the guy comes up, he comes from the back. There's the incredible barbell that he's got to lift. He's got to clean and jerk the barbell, press it over his head, and the guy comes out and everyone's quiet and he looks like just a behemoth. Comes out and he's talking to the bar. You ever see those guys? They talk to the bar. They're talking to it. They go like that. And you know what I'm talking about? The guy goes like this. The guy goes down, he goes to grab him, he goes like it yelled at him or something. You ever see how they do that? And they're going like this, like he's stalking the thing, like it's going to get up and move any minute. Why are they doing this? They're psyching themselves up. There's a lot of body English involved. He wants to put every bit of who he is into this because he's got to get that gold prize. So he finally gets it and he grabs it. And it's almost like he's arguing and they're fighting. And he hasn't even lifted it yet. And he's going through all this stuff. And then every moment and millimeter of inches and all this stuff matters to that great lift. Body English is everything to get the victory. And as I was preparing this message and putting it together this morning, I said, Lord, you got to help me. Because chances are, we're just into this series and the topic is coming back to church. It's possible that somebody invited somebody to come to hear a message that might encourage them to go back or to come back to the church. And then I caught myself asking God, oh God, just give me some kind of an ability to get through to them. And the Lord showed me in the picture of my head that I was trying to do spiritually what those guys do physically. I was looking at the bar. I'm looking at the message. Oh God, it's not going to work. Looking at the points. Oh no, and I'm trying to move them around, that's not it. You know what? I can only present the message. It's up to you. God made it really clear in my heart. Jack, just give the message. The issue is between them and me. And so with that, I'm going to let you read my notes and I'm going to go home. No. Listen, in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, the Bible there says, and those who gladly received his words, that they were baptized, and about that day, 3,000 souls were added to the church. Acts 2, 42 says, and they continued. You ought to circle that word because that's the key. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's biblical teaching. The apostles' doctrine is not what they made up. It's what God had revealed by the power of the Holy Spirit from the Old Testament and as he revealed the new. Bible doctrine is the teaching of the apostles. And fellowship, that's the getting together. The early church was at its birth Jewish in its core. But as it began to evangelize and grow, the church spilled over into the Gentile world, and the Roman Empire became very concerned about the Christian church for one big reason. You want to know why? The bulk of the Christian church were slaves of the Roman Empire, mainly Gentile slaves as time went on. And they looked for any reason to fellowship. Did you know that? Fellowship. I think that's where potlucks were invented, Christian fellowship. We love it. We love getting together. We love fellowshipping together. We love talking. We love eating. We love doing things together. We love eating. But being together, that's how the early church functioned. And they rejoiced in that. The church together and fellowshipping and being together, they enjoyed it immensely. But as time goes on, people are people. That's what's wrong with the Christian church today. Did you know that? The Christian church is full of people. And because it's full of people, not everybody gets along. We all have opinions, we all have attitudes, and yet we're one big family. And we're related now in the spirit to each other. And as we begin to talk and share, maybe somebody's not having a good day. I mean, let's be honest, maybe somebody's just flat out in the flesh. And you walk in the door and somebody says, "Well, that's an ugly dress." "Oh, I was just kidding." "Oh, you hurt that person." You just laid their heart wide open. Or maybe somebody did the end round, you know, and ripped you off somehow in the church. Maybe it was a Christian business. And they advertised, "We're a Christian business." You expect integrity with a Christian business, but that's not what happened to you. You got robbed. And so now you get angry. And we've all been there. What do? Well, we either take it to God and deal with it according to the Word of God, or some get their feelings hurt and they think that they're going to show God something. I don't know why they would take it on to God, but they're not going to go to church anymore. That's it. And they pull out for whatever reason. Now listen, as we get into our study this morning, your pain, your experience that may have led you away from your church is real. The hurt is real. Your situation may even be justifiable, meaning that you were totally, completely wronged by what they or a person did to you. But listen, it's those justifiable hurts that we have in our lives that we can amass a crusade around. And rather than give it to God, we will hang on to it. And you know what happens? It's like the people when the Titanic was sinking. True story. Many of the pursers and the servants on the Titanic and some others, I'm sure, did you know that they began to break in to some of the cabins and suites of very wealthy people on that cruise. And they began to load their pockets with gold and with jewelry and all kinds of precious materials. They jumped over the side of the ship thinking that they were going to make it over to the boat, get on, and just make it to America or who knows where and be rich. They jumped over with all of their pockets full of gold and of jewelry and everything and went straight to the bottom. Not thinking that this weight is going to pull me down. This weight's going to just cause me to fall and to be stumbled and to maybe possibly never recover. They didn't think about that. Christian, and this message this morning is to the Christian. Be careful. People will hurt us and people will harm us. But you know what? Jesus Christ has never hurt us. He will never hurt us. And we need to understand something, that when we're hurt, we need to take it to the Lord and deal with it His way, but never stop following and obeying the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would you add insult to injury and turn your back on Him? 3 points this morning. Jot them down if you would. Point number one is this today. Why should I go back to church? Why should you? Because it's God's desire for you to come back. That's the bottom number one reason, because God says so. You say, "Pastor, I don't like the church." Find a church you like. "Oh, I haven't been able to find a church I like." Oh. Maybe you're expecting more out of the church than what God expects out of the church then. No, put your eyes on Jesus, Christian, and go back to the church or find a church that can minister to you again. Why? Because number one reason, God wants you in the church. He wants you there in many, many ways to do many, many things, as we shall see. But the number one point to our study this morning is it's God's desire that you go back to church. And how so is that true? Well, first of all, jot it down. He wants what's best for you. He wants what's best for us. Now, this takes a huge step of faith. Right now, right here, right now. We've got to believe in the Bible. And the Bible tells us that God wants for us the very best. And with that, we have to receive by faith, because we'll argue with that. Like this: I'm hurt. I'm not going to a church. And I'm justified in my pain. I was wronged. But Jack, if you're asking me to believe that God wants His best for me, then why don't I have the best? And immediately you and I are placed, and we place ourselves in that spot of being the evaluator or somehow the inspector or the determinant about what is good for me, what's best for me. You hear what I'm saying? God says, attend the church. In fact, in Hebrews 10:25, it says, do not forsake the assembling together with the church, as some have done. But he says, get together even more often as you see the end approaching. And according to the Bible, the end is approaching. So what should we do? Give up? No. Fellowship more. If you do not do that, if I do not do that, I'm offending the heart of God. But see, we get so caught up into what we think. See, God says, I know what I want for you, and I want the very best for you. And here's what I do. For example, true story. Last week, we ordained our pastor down in Mexico, in San Jose del Cabo, Baja. And so we were down there on Monday night installing our pastor there, and I have not had a banana split in over 10 years. I didn't realize that, and I never even think about banana splits. Well, after that, I went, and there's a Baskin-Robbins in that little town, and I mean little town, a Baskin-Robbins. So we walk in there, and I'll take a banana split. You know what? As soon as I got home, I said, Lisa, get in the car. We're going to Baskin-Robbins. We're getting banana splits. It was fantastic. I had no idea. I completely forgot. Banana split, all the stuff on there. Oh, my goodness. It was fantastic. And so I'm eating that thing, and now I want to eat one every day. I want to eat a banana split every day. Listen, it's what I want. Now, I'm sure God is saying, Jack, don't eat one every day. But I haven't heard from him yet about that. So my desire is, I want a banana split. The truth is, if I eat a banana split every day, I will not be healthy. I will get fat, sick. Tastes great. It's what I want. But I can want something so much to my liking that I hurt myself. Those of us who have been together on mission outreaches, especially to Western Europe, will get on the Autobahn. We've done it together, remember? 165 miles an hour, 200, and I think it's 80 kilometers an hour, flying down the Autobahn. I think it's why man was born. It's awesome. And you want to drive like that all the time. I can't drive like that all the time. You get hurt doing that. It's got to be at the right time, the right place, and all that. It's got to be legal. You see, I can do what I want against what God wants, and I can eat banana splits until I can't get in that car. Or I eat a banana split, get in the car, go so fast and out of control that when there's an accident, all that's left is banana splits all over. Why? Because I'm doing it my way. And so we might say this morning, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. You know, I was doing fine one time in a church, but this is what happened, and I'm not going anymore. Why are you doing that? Who do you think you're harming? It's you. You don't want to do that anymore. I believe if we held a crusade at Edison Field and we invited just people who were Christians but not attending any church, do you realize we could not contain the people? There are more people out there that love Jesus, but yet they've strayed away and they've got justifiable hurts and they're not fellowshipping with God. And God says, come back and fellowship with my church that I paid with my own blood. He wants what's best for us. Didn't God say in his creation in Genesis, after each day of creation, God looked at it and said what? It is good. And then he creates Adam and Eve, and on the final day, he said it is very good. And Adam and Eve were in the garden, and all was well. Then you keep reading. It doesn't take long. In fact, I did this a couple weeks ago. I'll do it again. Those of you who saw this, bear with me again. But look at this. This is all of creation right there. The universe, Adam and Eve, animals, everything, the universes, the clusters of universes that are out there. Everything God created. He did it all right there, all right there. Then Adam and Eve, they blow it right about here in the garden. And the rest of the book is, please come back home. I love you. Come back. The Bible says Adam and Eve blew it. They're hiding in the garden. And the Bible says that God came walking in the cool of the evening, in the cool of the day. And he says, Adam, you bum. He didn't do that. He didn't say, Adam, you blew it. He said, Adam, what did he say? Where are you? Now, God knew where he was. I believe that God was trying to evoke from Adam confession. I believe if he would have confessed, God would have covered the sin, and we would have been living in a garden right now. Adam, where are you? Come back in fellowship. Maybe God is saying, Bob, where have you been? Susie, where are you? He's been calling out, and you know how hard it is to live like that, don't you? You're a Christian, but God wants more out of your life. And he wants you to fellowship. He wants you to be in his army to assist in the spiritual development of other people. It's called the church. Yeah, boy, you don't, the church that I went to, I didn't like it. Well, listen, as long as you departed from that church for biblical reasons, that is, the church was not biblically sound, or there were wrong things or immoral things, then leave. By all means, get out of there. Knock the dust off your feet. But maybe you left the church that you were attending because it didn't go the way that you wanted, and God was actually desiring to use you to help better that church through a trying and difficult situation. It's possible, you know. It's possible. Why am I even bringing this up, and why am I including this in our series of Why Should I? Because there's so many wounded people, and it's God's will that you be wounded no more. He wants you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so that's a very, very important thing. God knows what's best, and he wants what's best. Listen, he not only wants what's best for us, but God knows what's best. Jot that down. That's our second consideration under this point. Our first point is, it's God's desire that you come back. Number one thing regarding that is God wants what's best for us. Number two, he knows what's best for us. I love this. You pick up the Bible. Listen, you can't pick up the Quran and get what I'm about to say. You can't pick up the Tibetan Book of the Dead and get what I'm about to say. You can't get it from Buddha or from Confucius or anyone else. The Bible from cover to cover says, God says, you're my children, call me Father. I love the Hebrews. They say, Abba, their Father in heaven, who knows what's best for us. He loves us so much, he knows what's best. And people run. When it says here in the book of Acts that they continued, well, the word continued in Acts 2:42, if you look it up in the Webster's 1828 dictionary, Noah Webster says it means this. And by the way, it's the same in the Greek. The word continue, as they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and prayers. Listen to this. To continue. The word means to determine to press forward. It's a decision you make. To stay at or to persevere upon a course or a task until success is had or enjoyed. To keep on going, usually in the face of opposition or difficulty. Wow. Acts chapter 1 verse 14 says that they continued with one accord in prayer.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson called Why Should I Go to Church? It's a part of Pastor Jack's series simply called Why Should I? Which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, recently, we brought you another one of Pastor Jack's topical series called The Problem with Jesus. And this four-part series called The Problem with Jesus has been talked about as quite a useful tool and study series for effective evangelism. Well, Real Radio listeners are still getting in touch and requesting The Problem with Jesus. So we're extending our offer. We'll send you the four DVD set for your tax-deductible gift of any amount to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio. Now, whether you call, click, or write, be sure to mention that DVD series by name. It's called The Problem with Jesus. You can visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And it's real easy. You'll know right where to point and click. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, you can write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found real easily at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.